So before we get started, did everybody get their prosperity pencil? Okay, so you might just think, well, they brought that out because we're doing this prosperity money series thing. But actually, there's a message here in giving these out, and that is, if you really, really want to know greater prosperity, you're going to have to get the lead out. When I give those puns, my wife makes me pay for it later in the day. I do have another opening story, and it's a story about a church, a small church, very much like ours, and they were having their annual meeting, and in the middle of the finance report, the wealthiest man in the congregation stood up and said, I want to share my story, because it's a story in which I could vividly recall, as if it were yesterday, the turning point in my life. And I was just a young teenager, and I earned my first dollar, and I worked all day, and that's exactly what I got for that, was a dollar. And then later on, I went to the youth meeting at the church, and as I was sitting there, I came to realize I was going to have to give that whole dollar or absolutely nothing in the work of God. And I made a decision, and I contributed that whole dollar when the collection plate came around. And I'm sure that God saw what happened and decided to reward me, and that's why today I am a millionaire. And with that, he sat down, and the chairperson of the board leaned over and whispered in his ear, what a wonderful story. I dare you to do it again. I have another story, a true-to-life story. It goes back a few years to the days before there were cell phones. And we were having a problem with our telephone line. So we got a hold of AT&T, and they sent a service rep out to try to investigate and see what the problem was. And it was a lady, and she was in the house for about 30 minutes, and she came up to me and she said, Mr. Corpin, I have to get into that room. And the room that she was pointing to was my daughter's room, and I really don't want to mention Lisa's name. And I looked at her and I said, I really don't think that's a good idea. And she said, why not? And I said, because it's an absolute mess. I know that it's a mess. You see, we had two simple rules as it pertained to our daughter's rooms. They were free to do whatever they wanted, but the two rules were, under no circumstances were you ever to leave wet towels in the room. And the other one was, if you want to live in a mess, that's your business, but you have to keep the door closed so nobody else has to look at it. So I told her that it was a mess, and she said, sir, I've been doing this for over 12 years. I make multiple calls during the day. I'm in so many houses you wouldn't believe the things that I have seen. I believe that I have seen it all. And so with that, I just walked over, turned the knob, pushed the door open, and made a gesture to invite her forward. And she got to the doorway, and she looked in, and she said, wow, this really is bad. This may be the worst that I've ever seen. And then she said, I don't think I could get in there to do what I have to do. And I said, well, where do you need to go? And she pointed to the far corner of the room. So I went in there in the midst of what was going on, because I want to tell you, there wasn't a square inch of floor that was visible. The closets were open. Half the dresser drawers were open. There were clothes hanging out of the dresser drawers. It was as if the closet and the dresser got ill and vomited clothing all over the room. Okay. But I bravely went in there and cleared a path using my foot as a broom. And cleared a path wide enough to enable her to get to the corner of the room and do what it is that she had to do. And I share this story with you because our topic today is clearing the path. And I can't think of another real life situation that better illustrated the point. And clearing the path is such a significant step, a significant awareness for us to develop as we proceed and move on in our prosperity series. Doing the prep work for these talks around money and prosperity have really been very educational for me. They've allowed me personally to connect some dots that I previously wasn't getting. So, for example, I've come to appreciate that wealth and richness and prosperity really are just outgrowths of our overall spiritual energy. And so when we talk about the energy of money, really what we are talking about is divine substance. Because if it's true, as we hold, that there's one power, one source active in the universe and in our lives, to talk about the energy of money independent of all of that really doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. And to give you an example of what I'm talking about, if you think of something of real beauty, like a rose, you know, I think we could regard the bloom of the rose as the richness, the wealth, the prosperity of the flower. And it might also be said that that bloom represents, it's a sign, it's a sacrament, a manifestation of the inner health and well-being and spiritual life of that flower. So to talk about the bloom of the rose independent of all of that that's going on also would not make any sense. That rosebud, those rose petals, that bloom are what they are because of the incredible miracle of life that vibrates and pulsates within the entire plant. So what does this all have to do with clearing a path? Well, there's an old amusing expression. I know where I want to go. I just don't know how to get there from here. And there's a lot of wisdom and there's a lot of truth in that expression. I know what I want to be when I grow up. I just don't know how to get there. I know what I want in a relationship, in a partner. I just don't know how to make it happen. I want to realize another $50,000 or $75,000 or $100,000 this year. I just don't have a clue how I could possibly get this started. The reason that we have trouble seeing or getting there is because of clutter. If we are standing at point A, clutter denies us the opportunity to see point B. Clutter is the one thing in our life that obscures, hides, and in the worst case, actually denies us the realization of obtaining the goals in our life and enjoying the life of abundance that we were intended to enjoy. Clutter is the anti-vision. The mission of clutter is to take our dreams and do whatever it can to turn them into nightmares. Clutter is active in all of the tenses, past, present, and future. Clutter is insidious. It is self-feeding, and in the worst case, it is contagious. I don't know if you ever knew of somebody who was a hoarder. And I really want to be very careful not to appear to be the leap-it glib about this because it's a really serious issue for some people. For some people, and we all have a touch of this in ourselves, for some people, there's just this inability to discard something, to get rid of something, to throw something away. I remember my dad had a touch of this. He had a junk room in the house, in our apartment, in which things were piled up all over the place. And in particular, there was this metal, 100% metal shoe stretcher. And we would rag on him, why don't you get rid of that stupid thing? And it would make him crazy. And sometimes my mother, just to get on his nerves, which she really liked to do on a daily basis, she would threaten that she was going to throw that thing away one day when he was off to work, and it absolutely positively made him crazy. It made him berserk. In the book, The Energy of Money, the author shares a parable with us about a man who took twigs and leaves and used them to fashion together a raft, which he then used to cross the river. And then upon getting to the other side, he proceeded to pick up the raft, put it on top of his head, and carry it with him wherever he went. And clearly this is a perfect example of things that have served a purpose. But then if we cling to them, you know, just tend to become an absolute burden in our lives. But perhaps the strongest example of clutter reaching out to us from the past and grabbing a hold of us is in our refusal or our inability to forgive. And let's be fair. It's understandable why forgiving can be difficult. Sometimes those pains that we suffer, you know, just really go deep, and the wounds just want to fester for a long, long time. But at the same time, to take something that happened, you know, days, weeks, months, years, and even many, many years ago, and continue to let it choke and strangle us and paralyze us is just absolutely crazy. And never is this more the case than our inability or our refusal to forgive ourselves. We all have baggage. We all have clutter. These take on many forms. Maybe they come in the form of broken relationships. Maybe it's those times in our lives where we actually dared to try something new only to have it blow up in our face. At one time or another, every one of us has been made to feel humiliated and embarrassed. We all have our own history. We all have our own way, a preferred way of doing things. We all have our own views of the way the world works and what we have to do to survive in it. But even of those of us who say we enjoy a wonderful history, that we've lived a very happy life, we too have things in our lives that if we could, we would eliminate. And so my advice to you is, then do so. You have the power to release and let go anything that continues to clutter up your life and drag you down and hold you down. The present can bring clutter too. Today is Earth Day. I heard a statistic Friday, driving in my car. In the United States, we go through 500 million plastic straws a day. A day. All of those things end up in our landfills, our rivers, our streams, our lakes, our oceans. And you look at a single straw and it seems rather innocuous. What's the big deal? But see, that's the nature of clutter. It's prolific. A personal example, I was once riding with a friend and we got pulled over by the police. And when the police officer said, "Sir," I wasn't driving, "Sir, the sticker on your license plate has expired." And my friend got out of the car and said, "I don't understand it. I know that I paid the bill. I don't understand it." I'm telling you, if he said it once, he said it 20 times. Finally, the police officer said, "Sir, I'm going to give you a pass. Just go home and do whatever you have to do to attend to this." In response to that, my friend said, "But I don't understand it," at least another 10 times, because he had this thought bouncing between his ears that wouldn't go away. It was cluttering up his thing, and he was about to throw away the gift that had just been presented to him. And finally, the officer said, "Sir, if you say it one more time, I'm going to issue the ticket." And I literally grabbed my friend by the arms and steered him back to the driver's seat of the car so that we could get out. Another quick story. I know this woman who walked out of her front door one day, and there on the lawn was a nice $100 bill that she quickly snatched up, as would anybody. And when she would share the story with other people, people would always say, "What are you going to do with this newly found small treasure of yours?" And her response was, "Nothing. I'm going to put it, stash it in my drawer of my dresser so that at any time I could go look at it and relive the experience of finding it." And any and all arguments in terms of the wonderful things that she could do with that $100, even to the point of banking it and earning interest, all fell on deaf ears. This is something that happened over 20 years ago. That $100 bill remains in her dresser drawer today as we speak. It is congealed energy just waiting to be released. As for the future, all of us can look forward and see all kinds of obstacles and roadblocks in terms of what's going on in our lives, because the world is so quick to point out to us all of the places we can't go all of the things that we can't do. And the world is also eager to let us know in no uncertain terms the loopholes that we are going to have to jump through if we want to try to do something in this world. And it's all too quick to let us know about all of the horrors that, you know, are in the road ahead of us when we try to realize our dreams. You sometimes see this play out in the movies, right? Well, sir, the natives refuse to go beyond this point with you because anybody who has ever entered the jungle here has never been seen or heard from again. Or anybody who has ever gone to this place has never lived to come back and talk about it. Okay, so it's a bit dramatic. My dad was a very simple man, never had any money, really. He had a simple dream, though. He wanted to open up a hot dog stand, just a small hut or shack, whatever you want to call it. And every time that he expressed his dream, those of us around him, his wife, my mom, and all of the kids, would just jump all over him and squelch it. We would be so quick to tell him about all of the pitfalls involved. You know, you got to do licensing, and there's going to be health inspectors, and there's insurance to worry about, and if you hire somebody because you can't be there every single day, you got to worry about the person showing up, and on and on and on and on. Well, I have to be honest with you, to tell you the truth, as I look back at that situation, we came up with all of that clutter for him because deep down inside, every one of us was afraid that if he actually took steps to try to execute this dream, somehow or another, we were going to get sucked in, wouldn't have to be involved, and we wanted nothing to do with it. So the clutter in our heads motivated us to clutter up his. Earlier, I said that clutter could be both external and internal. And to illustrate that, I want to go back to our rows. It's really important for us to weed the garden. You know, a weed here, a weed there, what's the big deal, right? But if you fall asleep, if you're not vigilant, all of a sudden there's a cluster and the weeds actually choke the life out of a rose bush. And so it's important for us to weed it. And then taking it on an internal basis, it's important for us to prune the roses. We have to cut off those buds that already had bloomed and blossomed and gave off their radiant beauty for other people to see. But now we have to get rid of those so that new rosebuds, new life, new richness and prosperity could appear in that rose plant. If you ever had a live Christmas tree at Christmas time, you understand that it's really important that before you actually put it up, you need to saw off a good half inch to three quarters of an inch of the base. And this is because that tree has given up sap as if to try to heal the wound of having been cut down. But that sap clogs things up. It blocks the passageways, the arteries that would allow that tree to absorb and drink and soak up water so that it could continue to have some existence of life, at least for a while longer. In order for you to clear the path and allow yourself to bloom and blossom, you have to take an inventory. You have to spend important time looking at your thoughts, your beliefs, your concepts, your prejudices, and you need to evaluate them. And you need to determine whether or not these are really things that help you grow and flourish, or if they are simply weeds that you continue to water day in, day out in your own life. There's an outstanding book that was a number one bestseller. It is called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. The author is Marie Kondo. In her book, she has an interesting exercise. She suggests taking your wardrobe, all your clothes, and dumping it in the middle of the floor. And then picking them up one article at a time, holding it to your heart, and asking yourself the question, does this still bring me joy? And if the answer is no, time to discard it. Time to get rid of it. What if we were to take the time to do that with our beliefs, with our ideas, with the notions that are constantly ruminating in our own head. It may actually clear a path that would allow us to know greater prosperity. What if we were to take our checkbooks, our bank statements, our credit card bills? What if we kept a log of how we spent our money day in and day out, and then we took a look at that and we evaluated each item and said, wait a minute, is this something that I laid out that cash, that money for, that was good and healthy and allowed me to grow and to flourish in some way? Or is this money that I laid out in that instance a case of me watering my weeds? It's easy to do. Weeds sometimes can flower and be very attractive, and it's really important for us not to be fooled. In closing, I want to go to a gospel story, the gospel of the young rich man, who approaches Jesus and says, Lord, what do I have to do to gain eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the answer to this, keep the commandments. And he's persistent, and he says, yes, but which ones? And so Jesus goes and starts to rattle off some of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, honor thy father and thy mother. And the young man says, but Lord, I do all of these things. And so Jesus says, well, if you really want to be perfect, and it's just, that line is just so impacted with so much power and spiritual wisdom. If you really want to be perfect, go and sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the rich man's life was so complicated, he had so much clutter in his wealth, that he walks away basically saying, yeah, I guess I have to take a pass here. But what is so significant about that story and the meaning and the relevance that it has for each and every one of us is basically it's telling us, wherever your consciousness is, wherever you are in your stage of life, do you know what? It's okay. And all you have to do, if that's what you want to maintain it, is follow whatever those simple rules are that place you in that particular basket. But if you really want to grow, if you really want to be better, if you want to have a heightened spiritual awareness, if you really want to know greater prosperity in your life, you got to really be serious about cleaning up the messes. You really have to declutter and maybe break those rules that you had been following, because there's a higher sense of discipline that you need to maintain in order to be where you want to be. Our message today is clearing the path. And I wish that all of us could do so, that we could all know and realize the incredible loving abundance that awaits each and every one of us. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.